Good afternoon and welcome to the January 11th Mesa City Council study session. All council members are present and accounted for. The first item on our agenda is to review the agenda for tonight's regular council meeting. We do have a few items that are off the consent agenda, but let's make sure that that's the status quo. Council, agenda items 1, 2, and 3, we talk about some liquor license applications, and I know the one of, I know we have an issue on one of the liquor license applications, but maybe we'll save that presentation to the end of just rehearsing this agenda. Is that okay? Anything on agenda item 4? Purchase contracts. Agenda item 5 are various resolutions. 6 is the introduction of some zoning cases. And then 7 are some subdivision plats. And then currently off the consent agenda is the AMC Theater's liquor license application and the introduction of a zoning ordinance where Councilmember Finter has a conflict. So that's agenda items 8A and 9A. But would now be a good time to talk about the AMC Theater liquor license application? If so, we'd invite staff and anyone from the applicant forward that can give us some additional information on this consent agenda item. Welcome. We're excited that you're making some changes to your theater, and we're interested to know more about it.
Thank you. My name's Andrea Lukowitz. I'm the attorney and agent for AMC. This is Frank Lewis, who is the operations for the liquor from the corporate headquarters, who's come in to present to you the information that we hope you will use to be able to approve the application.
Thank you.
Yeah. Again, I'm Frank Lewis with AMC Theaters, and I'm over the adult beverage program, so everything to do with that, policies, procedures, construction, licensing, all that falls under my wheelhouse. So I'm very happy to come and speak to you all tonight. Very excited about the changes at the theater over here. As you guys know, it's has gone through hard times over the years, and we've actually, you know, abandoned 9 of the auditoriums. So this is really an exciting opportunity for us to go back and generate some new traffic in the area, as well as do just a major overhaul in the theater. So part of that is adding the adult beverage program. And again, just so you know, I've been with AMC Theaters for about 6 years. They brought me on to run the dine-in theater program. I was actually the director of operations that was over the Esplanade Theater whenever we opened that a few years ago. I've got right at 30 years in the bar and restaurant business, and so that was one of the reasons that AMC put me in charge of the adult beverage program. So one of the things that when we took a look at this, MPA, this is not our data, it's the MPA data. One of the things that was surprising is over the years, the peak in about the mid-90s where the attendance was the highest. And since then, there's been a precipitous decline. And a lot of that decline has really been the teenagers. Part of that is because of the pricing. We've gotten to the situation where ticket prices are high enough. And again, 50% of the ticket price goes back to Hollywood and film rent. So for us, it really is about the food and beverage that helps pay the bills. So anyway, the data that they show is nationwide that the movie-going experience has changed a lot with the demographics. I mean, the 70% of moviegoers in 2014, which was up from 2013, up from 2012, and we assume the data comes in will be up from 2015, the 70% of the moviegoers were over the age of 21, which is very similar to the demographics of an Applebee's where I'd spent 18 years prior to coming to AMC Theaters. So again, just kind of why we do it. Really, it was a survey that, or studies that we did with Coca-Cola, some market research with our guests to find out what was a compelling thing to get the adults back off the couch and back in the movie theaters. And really, part of our asset strategy is this reseat remodel and the adult beverages. And again, all across America, we found this to be a very, very successful recipe. It was very safe, and we created considerable more traffic in each one of these locations. Currently, we're serving 136. We serve alcohol in 136 theaters. And again, we've been serving alcohol at AMC Theaters for 15 years. So it's not something that's new to us. The expansion, the rapid expansion, it is fairly new to us. But again, we're in 24 states in the District of Columbia with 19 dine-in theaters and then 117 other theaters similar to what we're proposing to do here in Mesa. Just a quick look at the floor plan. Again, you see the colossal size of the building. The MacGuffin's is what we call, it's just the name of the bar. It's owned by AMC, run by AMC. The general manager of the building is the general manager of it. It's just a name to give the guest the idea that it is something different over there. Much smaller than the concession stand. The overall revenue that we'll generate will be about 1% of the total revenue of the building, ticket revenue and food and beverage revenue, and somewhere around 10% or less of the total food and beverage revenue would be the alcohol. So as you would walk in, all of this will be, you'll have to go through ticket drop to get access to the bar. So we'll have no outside guests. So the thought is not that it's a situation where guests are able just to come in and consume alcohol or outside guests without the tickets. Really, this is designed to be able to come get your drink and head to the movie theater and consume that drink. The auditorium or the area itself is not really set up as a gathering place. Again, we don't want people hanging out, having a party in the auditorium. Again, for us, it's about the movie going experience. The alcohol is an amenity. As soon as the alcohol becomes the experience, it's tragic for the movie going experience, meaning that guests have paid a lot of money to go watch a movie. They want to see this movie. As soon as somebody becomes loud and disruptive, guests get upset because they're missing the movie. They go out and talk to a manager. We tend to give those guests a refund, which we still pay Hollywood 50 cents on the dollar for that movie ticket. And we give them a pass to come back, which we still have to pay Hollywood for that because there's no such thing as a free ticket. So every time we have an upset guest, we're losing money. So while other companies have a moral and a legal obligation to make sure that they're managing the responsible service of alcohol and preventing minors from consuming, we actually also have a legitimate business case that if we get that wrong, our guests would let us know very quickly and we'd begin losing money. So from a standpoint of the management, they're very much on top of that. Just very quickly, this would be the renovated lobby of the theater, and you can see in the far corner over there, near the side that was closed, would put in a 15-foot or 17-foot MacGuffin's, the concession bar. Again, that's another just an example of just a mock drawing, a mock-up of what it looks like, and then one of a similar theater that we put one of these in. So the real question at hand is how do we do it and why do we do it safe? So a big part of this, just by the experience itself, is self-limiting, really unlike anything else I've seen. So if you go to a restaurant, it's about the food, it's about the drink, it's about the conversation. So alcohol adds to that. If you go to a sporting stadium, it's about the loud, rowdy fans. So it's about alcohol helping that. For us, the movie theater, we want you to sit quietly, politely, laugh when appropriate, clap when appropriate, but we don't want you loud and obnoxious. So for us, we want to make sure and control that. And from a guest standpoint, it's almost self-controlling. The only reason guests get up and leave the auditorium typically is because they have to use the restroom. So alcohol tends to add to that. And so what we found across America is that guests simply aren't getting up and leaving the auditorium to get another drink, to get a refill on popcorn, to get a refill on soda. The take rate on it is very, very low. On average, our guests drink 1.1 drinks per adult who is consuming alcohol during a visit. So the consumption is very, very low. Again, unlike a restaurant where the table turns about an hour, they're setting in our movie theaters with trailers two and a half hours, 3 hours, something like that. So typically, blood alcohol content is very low whenever a guest would leave the auditorium. Again, ticket to guests only. We put every single person in the theater through tips training. It's something that nobody else out there. We actually won the 2014 Tips Award of Excellence because of our responsible stance on preventing minors from consuming alcohol and the stand we took at preventing guests from overconsumption. One of the things TIPS has is there's three different stages of it. If you're not showing any signs of alcohol or intoxication, you're fine to be served. If you're beginning to show signs, that's the kind of slow down service. They keep an eye on you. That's where we differentiate. If anyone starts showing signs of intoxication, we discontinue service immediately. So we won't serve them any further. So we actually take an even stronger stand than what TIPS does. But we feel very strongly want to make sure that every single eye in that theater is watching for signs of minors consuming, trying to consume, or adults over-consuming alcohol. And not only have the ability to identify that, but then also be trained on the techniques for intervention. We use alcohol compliance monitors, which tends to be people who are walking through the auditoriums to take a look to make sure there's not drinks being passed. They're applying to make sure they're seeing anyone who looks underage. They may double check somebody's ID just to validate that they are overage. Again, we card everyone, something very different than most people do out there in this business. If you consume alcohol in our theater, you have to have a license or a valid ID showing that you're over the age of 21, even if you are 100 years old. It's one of the things that we do. We feel so strongly about making sure that we do that, that we have a zero tolerance policy, where if an associate is caught or a manager is caught selling alcohol without validating the fact that the person's over age of 21, they get terminated immediately. We use a third-party compliance check, much like the police department comes and does compliance checks. We do our own once a month. It's a third-party company that comes in and does it for us. It's one of those that obviously that we're not having a minor come in, but it's somebody who's 21 to 24, 25 years old and looks young, and they come in and try to purchase an alcoholic beverage without a license. For police departments across America, I'm told it's somewhere around 83 to 86% success rate when going in and doing their compliance checks. For us, doing these at every single one of our theaters where we serve alcohol once a month, they told me at the info of the company that we use that 95% is the gold standard. We're currently at a 97.4%, and I have a person on my team that's, that we brought on to help bring that number even higher. So police departments all across America applaud the efforts that we do and the success that we have in that. Again, regardless, and again, the other part of the zero tolerance policy is very, very different than my casual dining days. In casual dining, if you caught a minor consuming alcohol, the unsaid rule was that you would take that drink away from that minor and you would warn that table. If they got unruly, you'd go ahead and kick them out. If you caught them again, then obviously you would definitely kick them out. At AMC Theaters, if we catch a minor who has consumed alcohol, whether it's on our property or not, has alcohol on them, whether they had the ability to get it within our building or whether they brought it in, we will call the police every single time, and we will call parent or legal guardian if they're under the age of 18. We have video taping at the bar, we have video cameras, and we'll turn that evidence over to the police department without subpoena upon request that would show evidence of the adult who purchased that beverage. So again, one of those very effective tactics, if you're going to have a minor, going to slip alcohol to a minor, you tend to not do it in a place where it's likely if you get caught that you're going to go to jail. Again, all bartenders for us are over the age of 21. I know it's different in the state. For me, we feel that it's important that alcohol is never in the hands of anyone who's a minor in these theaters. And so all the bar staff, anyone who's going to be handling or touching the alcohol would be over the age of 21. We use standard recipes. So one of the things a lot of people don't think about is you think about a mixed drink. We limit the amount of alcohol that goes in the drink. Again, our goal is for a guest to come in and enjoy a beverage, not to become intoxicated. So we put standard recipes. We use jiggers, and we measure the pours to make sure they have the right amount in there. We use a distinctive set of cups, which this is the difference in the cups. The MacGuffin's cup is on the left. The small soda cup is on the right. And again, most cups get bigger from there. So they're very, very easily distinguished from size. We use red straws in the non-alcoholic beverages and black straws in the alcoholic beverages. The bar cups are never behind the concession stand, and the concession cups are never behind the bar. We pour only alcoholic beverages from behind the bar. So, and again, it's one of those things that guests are always like, well, I would like to get a soda too. We make them go back to the concession stand. Again, the reason is because we want no situation where alcohol accidentally gets poured into the wrong cup and gets in the wrong hands. So we separate that out. So if we see a guest with one of these cups in their hand, we know that it has alcohol in it. And then we can do a visual check. If there's any question about their age, we'll go back and double check their ID. Again, we use the mystery shop. We partner with local and regulatory authorities. Again, we met with the police department in Glendale and come up with some good ideas. And even recently, we're working on a program to incentivize the staff for finding minors who are consuming alcoholic beverages in the theater. So we want to give them a reason to go above, everyone to go above and beyond and try to find somebody and catch somebody doing that, doing something wrong. Again, we use Certec, which is a company that does all the guest complaints. I see every guest complaint comes across my desk has anything to do with food and beverage. The vast majority of any sort of alcohol-related incidents we have come from theaters where we don't have a bar, and almost 95% are from guests who came in intoxicated or got caught smuggling alcohol into the building. Again, we have cameras positioned in the bar area and in the storage areas to make sure that, we have that recorded, and we'll turn that over to law enforcement. And again, we'll restrict the hours of operations. We will shut the bar down an hour before consumption cutoff or sales cutoff, which is ever earlier, or 12:30 at night, which is ever the earliest. So in Las Vegas, at one of the theaters on the Strip, I've got a 24-hour liquor license. We still shut down at 12:30 just because we feel strongly about the fact that, we don't want to serve anything after that. Again, the last, we have just a fantastic track record. You add all the cumulative years of what operations together, it's a 350 years of very safe and very successful operations. Far more safe, far less incidents by far than what we've seen even in my Applebee's days. Again, this is just a couple quotes from the chief of police from Lombard, Illinois, and the captain of the LA County Sheriff's Department. And what law enforcement all across America, we've asked them to go out. If they have questions, we give them a list of every theater in America where we have bars. And we said, call any of them. Call the police department anywhere we serve alcohol and ask them how we do. And we get taken up on, we get that taken up several times. And every single time it comes back the same thing. They have found no increase of disturbance or criminal activity of any type in or around the theater after putting a bar in. So anytime law enforcement has done the due diligence to double check what we've done and even what our competitors have done, they've come back with the finding that it is absolutely very safe. We're not seeing issues where minors are consuming. We're not seeing issues where there are guests over consuming. We've had zero situations where we had a parent call police department or call us and say, my teenager was in, or my minor was in your theater, and they came home smelling of alcohol or intoxicated. We've had zero issues where police have arrested anyone for consuming alcohol underage in or around our theater where we have a bar. And we've had zero issues where people have left the theater and have had any sort of DUI or caused disturbances. So, and that's really kind of the big picture of what we're doing.
Thank you. I was the one that dragged you out here to do it. And this is frankly what I had hoped to hear, and it actually exceeds what I expected to hear. So thank you for that commitment and the way that you set that up. So I feel really comfortable with this going back on consent agenda, if you'd like it to go on consent agenda. Again, I really appreciate the thoroughness that your business model. I wish you could run all of our bars in Mesa. I mean, that's quite thorough. Yeah. So our DUI task force would be out of business. That'd be great. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Kavanaugh.
Thank you. This is in my council district, and I support your application. And as for a history lesson, back in the olden days when I served on council the first time, the planning and zoning for this corridor on Stapley between US 60 and Baseline was intended as a hospitality entertainment corridor. That's why you see the restaurants and bars and other hospitality places actually on the street versus the office buildings where my law offices are, which are set way back from the street. It was intended to create a corridor for places for people to go to be entertained. And the AMC theaters are a key anchor to that center there, which is one of the largest in my council district. And so I think what we're seeing here is an example of a company setting the gold standard and using best practices to minimize liability to customers, to their staff, but also helping to create an experience that helps maximize their revenues, which obviously benefits us as a city. So again, job well done. We look forward to the new operation there. I think it will be a great shot in the arm for that theater and that center.
Thank you. I agree with these gentlemen. I am just curious. I heard you say reseat remodel. Does the renovations there include improvements other than the addition of the adult beverage? The addition of that, are you remodeling the interior of your theaters, or?
Yes, we're doing a fairly extensive remodel, several $1 million remodel that actually will break ground very, very shortly, mm-hmm. perhaps even this week. We'll go ahead and put in the luxury recliners, mm-hmm. New carpet, new fixtures, updating the concession stand. Again, landlord typically kicks in over half the money because what we see with these is a tremendous increase in the amount of tenants. Over time, that thing shrunk down. That's why we had abandoned some of those auditoriums. But by putting in the new amenities, guests will drive in, get off the couch, and come back in. and we're anticipating seeing somewhere between a 50 to a 75% increase in attendance. So, you know, 300,000 extra people a year are going to be driving in to watching a movie there and shopping in the areas around it. So everywhere we've done this in America, we've yet to have a single one of them come even close to failing from being happy, the community being happy with the performance in us as well. So it's so very, very nice.
Do you anticipate reactivating some of the theaters that were shut down?
It's my understanding is that's not the case. We still have capacity with the rest of the auditoriums without that. That at this time they're not looking at. My understanding, the real estate department is not looking at reopening that. And I think there's also tax implications and other implications. My understanding that if we do that, so.
Well, thank you for the presentation. Does someone want to make a motion that I think it has been made. Is there a motion and a second to put this back on the consent agenda? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll add 8A back to the consent agenda. So that will still leave 9A off of the consent agenda. But that's the only thing that's off of this one. Yes. Okay, thank you. Next item on the agenda for the study session is to acknowledge receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. Is there a motion and second? Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Motion passes. Next is to hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Council, anything you'd like to share with us? Nothing since last Thursday? Okay. Next item is scheduling of meetings and general information. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, we will not be having a study session this coming Thursday because of the breakfast with the governor. So we'll be attending that. But also just a reminder, this Saturday, January 16th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. is the Mesa Arts and Crafts Festival in downtown Mesa. It's a free event. And then Monday, January 18th, from 11 a.m. to noon, is the Mesa Martin Luther King Jr. Parade. So we invite everyone to come out for the parade here in downtown Mesa. And then our next study session will be January 21st at 7:30 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you. Council, anything else you'd like to discuss before we adjourn this meeting? If not, I'd entertain a motion to do that. Thank you. Moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We are adjourned.